Good morning.
Such a blessing to be here with you this morning, especially on this first Sunday morning of the new year. Second day of the new year, but the first Lord's Day. And I don't know about you, but I'm blessed already just for being here and singing together, worshiping our Lord together, partaking of communion, and just seeing you all here this morning is quite encouraging to me. I mean, if only my wife were here, I think I'd end up preaching to myself. So somebody mentioned, you know, the last 2 years, and we think back to 2019, and as that new year was rolling in, we really had no idea what the world was about to go through, did we? And the Lord's blessed us, and we do have that promise to cling to, that all things do work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So some way, somehow, God is working all those things together for the good, including even the COVID disease. Somehow, some way. And I think in one way, it can and it has forced people to think about the brevity of life. And what happens? Where do I go after my short time here in this life? And perhaps that's caused some to look to God for eternity, for forgiveness, and to his love and his promise of spending eternity with him, the good news of the gospel. The lesson this morning is entitled, Live Like You Believe. Live like you believe in 2022, but of course we're striving to live like we believe throughout our whole lives as Christians. I will point out, the first three scriptures come from the back of your bulletin. So anytime you want to be reminded of the sermon, or at least the first part of the sermon throughout the year, you're just going to look to the back of your bulletin, to those first three verses on the right side under faith in God, how to become a Christian. How to become a Christian through faith in God. I was hard up for a sermon outline, so I just turned to the back of the bulletin. What can I say? But yeah, Happy New Year. And again, welcome those who are visiting with us. We have visitors over here. Good to have you. And others who may be visiting. We hope that eventually, if you're not just passing through, you might choose to make this your church home and your church family. And of course, be blessed by God, be blessed by his word. But it's also a blessing to be a part of the Christian family. And as we pray for each other and encourage one another and spur one another on towards love and good deeds, God knows that we need the church family. We need the encouragement we find from one another. The goal of this lesson this morning is to strengthen and deepen our belief and our faith in Christ, which I hope will inspire us and encourage us to live like we believe, not just in the coming year, but throughout our Christian life. We'll be reminded this morning that true faith, as God, Jesus, and the Bible defines it, will lead us to repentance and then on to eternal life, to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. Belief, we'll see this morning, leads to salvation and leads to eternal life. That's the first point, by the way. Live as though you believe you have eternal life to look forward to. So we'll turn to John 20 and verses 30 and 31, right there on the back of your bulletin if you want to follow along with the outline. John chapter 20. In verses 30 and 31. I'm kind of laughing to myself because I didn't put my training wheels for that. One of my brothers in preaching school, I always have these tabs to turn to so I can hopefully get there ahead of you. He said, oh, you're still using your training wheels, huh, brother? I said, oh, thanks a lot, Steve. So I didn't have my training wheels on for that verse, but John chapter 20 and verse 30, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that's really defines the purpose of the book of John, that we might come to believe that Jesus is the Christ. But not only believe, but come to the point where We repent of our sins. We put our faith in Christ, confess our faith in Him, and then we're baptized into Christ, having all our sins forgiven and now being one with Christ. Now, he mentions here that he did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. And I think it's important to point out that there are enough of the miraculous signs that Jesus performed recorded for us that we might come to faith. There are just many more that are not recorded. And isn't that hard to imagine as we read through the Gospels and about the life of Christ? I mean, he gave the deaf their hearing. He gave the blind their sight. He caused the cripple to be healed instantly and to run and jump around joyfully because they could now walk for the first time in their life. He walked on water. He calmed the sea. All these miracles, when you think back to the life of Jesus, he raised the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And then, of course, he himself, by the power of God, was raised from the dead, never to die again. Even Lazarus and others that he raised from the dead would have to die again physically, wouldn't they? It's a second time. But Jesus, by the power of God, was raised from the dead and now is still alive at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So notice again God's good intention that belief would lead to eternal life in his name. He did many other miracles that are not recorded, but enough of them are recorded to bring us to that belief and to that salvation that is only found in Christ. And then if you drop down to that second scripture on the back of your bulletin, Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. And Enoch here is given to us as an example of living by faith and walking with God. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Isn't that amazing? He walked so closely with God and his life was so pleasing to God that he didn't have to experience physical death. And then in verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So God, it appears, is all for reward motivation. As a matter of fact, reward motivation is God's good intention, isn't it? And I think back to my life, and I'll ask you to think back to a time in your life when you first experienced reward motivation. I'll give you a minute to think about that. Reward motivation. I think back to one of the times in my life. I don't know how old I was, 10 or 12 years old, and I think my mother wanted to teach me about reward motivation so I might leave the house and work for myself one day. I don't know. She was like my Jerry Maguire, by the way. Do you ever see that movie? Oh, well, watch it sometime. He represents I think it's a wide receiver in the NFL, and what do they call it? He's his agent. Okay, and I won't go through the whole movie. So my mom was like my agent. She would line up jobs for me. One of the first jobs she lined up, unfortunately for me, was cleaning up after her friend, Tony Liu's three Newfoundlands. And I was excited. She said, I have a job for you. You can start, you know, you can earn some of your own money. And Tony Liu would go from our little town in Pennsylvania down somewhere in Florida near Daytona. And she would be gone for a while. I mean, a few weeks, a month. And that's when my job kicked in, and that was to clean up the yard after the Newfoundlands. If you don't want to know what a Newfoundland is, they're kind of like a small bear. So cleaning up that yard was like cleaning up a cow pasture. We'll put it that way to keep it nice on Sunday. But I did experience the reward of my efforts, and that kind of kept me going. Once I started getting paid for this task, I was like, you know, this is kind of stinky. It does have a downside. It's unpleasant. But it is very pleasant to get paid those wages after I finish the job. So God is all for reward motivation. Matter of fact, he promises that, and he says right here in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must not only believe that he exists, but also believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, that doesn't mean we earn our salvation, does it? Salvation is by grace through faith. It's a gift from God. Romans 4 and verse 4 and following, we read there, and this was kind of hard for me to, it's easy to read, but hard for me to allow to become a settled belief in faith in my heart, in my mind, and my soul. In verse 4, Romans chapter 4, now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. So I felt like after I cleaned up that yard and I did a good job, cleaning up the cow pasture, those wages were not a gift to me, right? They were an obligation from Tony Lou because I had done my job in cleaning up after her dogs while she's down having fun in Daytona, Florida. Now, verse 5, however, to the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Ooh, it might take a lifetime to allow that to sink in. I'll read it again. However, to the man who does not work but trust God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Because we're credited with the very righteousness of Christ. Isn't that the good news of the gospel? He wipes away my debt that I could never wipe away myself, my debt of sin. And at the same time, we're credited on the positive side of the ledger with the righteousness of Christ. Who could ever find or ask for a better deal than that? All because of the great price that Christ himself paid on the cross. He goes on to say in verse 6 that David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Now, I will balance this out. God does have some works for us to do. And that's a whole other sermon. You can go to James for starters. Verse 7, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. We can never do enough. We can never preach enough sermons or teach enough Bible classes or ever do enough good works as a Christian to ever earn our forgiveness of sin. That debt could only be paid by the precious, valuable blood of Christ himself. We know that. But believing that God will reward us in this life with gifts that no one and no thing could ever take away motivates us to live as we believe, not only in 2022, but throughout our Christian life. Only God can bless us with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit. James 1 and verses, James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. James 1, 16 through 18. We read there, James, the brother of Jesus, saying, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. I hope you got some good gifts over the Christmas season. I hope you gave some good gifts. We got a nice gift from our daughter. She's got a permanent full-time job now, so she gave us a gift certificate for a nice restaurant up where we live up the coast. What a blessing to start getting gifts back from your children, right? And of course, we try to give some good gifts, but no gifts we could ever give or receive could ever match the good gifts that only God can give. That's what James is pointing out. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And there he's talking about the new birth that can only be experienced in Christ and through the good news of the gospel. So if Christ does not return first, we will experience death. I think that's safe to say. If he doesn't return first, even as Christians, we will unfortunately experience death because the wages of sin is death. But when we look at Enoch, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So we will not be like Enoch in the fact that he didn't have to experience death. But we can become like Enoch in the way he lived, can't we? And then look forward to going on to spend eternity with Christ if he doesn't come back first, after our physical death. So, oh, that it may be said of you and I, as it was about Enoch, that he lived in a way that was commendable before God and acceptable before God, living a life of faith and walking with God through our short time here in this life. Moving on to the next scripture, the third one down on the back of your bulletin. Except I'm going to back up a little bit. The one on your bulletin is Romans 10, 17. We're going to back up first to Romans 10 and verses 9 through 11. Romans 10, starting in verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. That promise is as true today as it was roughly 2,000 years ago. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now let's focus in on this confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. When you think about it, that's really an act of repentance, isn't it? I'm saying when I confess Jesus as Lord in front of witnesses before I'm baptized or before you were baptized, that Satan and sin are no longer Lord of my life. I'm going to still struggle with temptation, even struggle with sin at times in my life, but Satan and sin are no more master of my life. They no longer reign and rule in my heart, in my mind, and in my soul, and in my spirit. Because I've now declared Jesus is my Lord. And my goal now is to allow him to reign in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit as I walk through this short journey through life. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was crucified to provide forgiveness for your sin and for my sin. But not only forgiveness initially as we're baptized into Christ and we come out of that water we gave a baptism, but an ongoing freedom from sin. Isn't that also part of the good news of the gospel? I don't want to be forgiven and freed from sin after I'm baptized and then go back into being a slave again to sin, right? None of us want that. That's why we came to Christ in the first place, that we might experience forgiveness, but also ongoing freedom from sin throughout our lives. Believe, as Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 10, that God raised him from the dead. Believe that he returned to his Father in heaven. Believe that he will return again as promised. As we read in Acts chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11, this is after now the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Jesus appears to his disciples after his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he ascends back into heaven as two of God's messengers promise his return. That's what we're going to read here in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. So they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Jesus was going back into the sky. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. They're the ones I referred to as God's messengers. I guess we could refer to them as angels. They're not in scripture, but they're certainly God's messengers. And they say in verse 11, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? And that always makes me chuckle a little bit because if I'm standing there watching Jesus ascend into the clouds, it's like, don't you know why we're staring and gazing into the sky? Because this man just ascended into the heavens, right? And maybe they're kind of watching to the point where when is he ever going to be out of sight, right? He just keeps ascending on into heaven until he's out of sight. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. That's still the same promise we hang on to and cling to today in 2022, the second day of 2022, isn't it? Not only that Jesus was crucified on the cross on our behalf, spent 3 days in a tomb and then was raised from the dead, but also the promise that he will return one day, right? And that may be in our life, our lifetimes. It may be this year. It may be this week. It may be tomorrow. It may be later today. That's why God left it up in the air, didn't he? Only the Father in heaven knows the day and the hour when Jesus will return. So we put our faith and our trust in that promise here, now, and today as we begin 2022, that Jesus will return one day. And if we pass on before that day, we're going home with him to spend eternity in that place he promised to prepare to those who love him and follow him during this short life. Romans 10 and verse 17, dropping down. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You have to hear the message, the good news, either by reading it in God's word or hearing it preached and taught or both. You have to first hear to, in order to come to believe, to the point of belief, right? Which will lead to repentance and living a faith, a life of faith in Christ and following him. In order to remain faithful in 2022 and beyond, we have to remain in God's word, don't we? Remember the very words of Jesus himself in John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So I think that's a great reminder for us at the beginning of the year. I'll speak for myself at least. I want to grow spiritually. I want to produce good fruit in my life. I know you do as well. And I know as a congregation with the new minister coming in especially, but always we want to bear fruit as a congregation and as a family of God. We will bear fruit when we keep our focus on abiding in him, remaining in him, abiding in his word, and allowing his word to abide in us. We'll just naturally produce fruit, won't we? God will produce the fruit in our lives. And God will produce the fruit we want to see in our congregation as we pray for our congregation to grow. Live like you believe in 2022. Live as though Satan, sin, and death are no longer your master. I mentioned this earlier, but Paul here, of course, in Romans chapter 10, and really the whole book of Romans is written to people who are already Christians. So as we turn back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes to the Roman Christians and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Now Paul is correcting false doctrine and false belief in the Christians and in this congregation, because they were believing and thinking that sin is good. Because the more we sin, the more we need God's grace. And God's grace will continue to flow like a, I don't know, like a waterfall. So the more I sin, the more God's grace flows. So that's a good thing. Science sounds kind of ridiculous, but some still believe that way today, don't they? So shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin as Christians. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. As Christians, we're living that new life in Christ, right? We're not sinless, but we do sin less, don't we, as we grow and mature in Christ. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. There's the good news. We've been united with him in his resurrection as we're raised out of that watery grave of baptism. And now we look forward to going on to spend eternal life with him. And then in verse 6, and then the lesson is yours this morning. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We no longer have to live as slaves in a free country. We no longer have to live as slaves to sin in a free country, or anywhere in the world for that matter, when you're a Christian, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. If you're here this morning and you've never responded to the good news of the gospel, as we've already seen in the lesson, the first step that's required by everyone, the good news of the gospel and the plan of salvation is the same now as it was roughly over 2,000 years ago. To hear through preaching, teaching, reading God's word, get a hold of a Bible and read God's word and come to faith in Christ and faith in God. And then believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified on that cruel cross on your behalf to pay the price for your sin. That he was buried and after the 3 days in that tomb, he was raised from the dead. And now as we read in Acts, he's gone to be with God, the right hand of the Father in heaven. Until he returns again. And then as we saw in the lesson, repent. That is to turn away, to make a 180 degree turn. As they say in the military, an about face. I face this direction, now I do an about face. And now I'm going in God's direction, right? I'm no longer living according to my wisdom and my way or the world's way. But I've repented, I've changed my mind, and now I want to live in a way that's pleasing and commendable to God. And then confess Jesus as Lord and King of your life. When we talk about confessing Jesus as Lord and King of your life, you're basically saying, my house, this body, this temple that God has given me is now under new management, right? It's no longer under the reign and rule of sin, but now it's under the management of Jesus Christ himself. And then be baptized, as we read in Romans 6, and we read throughout the New Testament, be buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism, and then be raised to walk in newness of life. The best decision you could ever make in your life is to put on Christ in baptism, remain faithful to him with God's help and with the help of God's family until you go on to be with him or until Christ returns. And then we can look forward to spending eternity together in that place Jesus went to prepare for us. If you have a need to respond, there's no better way to start out the year than to put on Christ. Make that decision to make him King of your life as we're going to stand and sing this invitation song.